أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم ومن الناس من يشري نفسه ابتغاء مرضات الله والله رؤوف بالعباد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. Respectable audience, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, God willing, we are going to continue our speech based on our holy imam's biography in life. We were talking about his splendid contribution on establishment of an Islamic state. And we have reached here to point out and to cite about Ali alayhi salam's remarkable contributions on the battlefields. We talked about some of the battles and we came to this battle of Khaybar. You know that many non-pagan Arab tribes of the inhabitants of Hijaz, they refused to join the faith of Islam. They refused to accept the newborn religious instructions and doctrine. They refused to accept from this side the Muslims too, did not dare to enforce them for the new religion. To enforce them the new doctrine. Why? For the faith itself prevented the Muslims from imposing it on the tribes. Because they were from the people of the scripture, they were called Ahlul Kitab. And there is a verse of the Holy Quran saying that La ikraha fid din. There is no coercion, there is no force in acceptance or non-acceptance of any religion. But again, our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, at the dawn of the Islamic State, in the beginning of the Hijrah, signed a document by which he regulated the relationship between these tribes around and in Medina and the Muslims, giving them rights equal to those of the Muslims. In that document, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, wrote the following: whoever joins the signatories of this scripture would be entitled to our help and would not be subject to any injustice, nor should the Muslims cooperate against them. This is the very document, the very treaty our Holy Prophet signed with them. We are telling this so that the Khaybarites battle should be made clear and distinct for our honorable listeners. So this treaty and the following was signed by our Holy Prophet with those of the non-pagan Arab tribes. So the people of the scripture are allowed to follow their religion as much as the Muslims are allowed to follow theirs. And so are their allies, except the one who commits injustice or sin. For he does not harm but himself. The people of the scripture have equal rights to that of Banu Auf. It is continued that the people of the scripture shall spend on themselves and the Muslims shall spend on themselves. They shall help each other against anyone that wages war against the people of this document. The signatories of the document are entitled to mutual advice, sincerity, honesty, and assistance, rather than fighting each other. So, it is quoted from Ibn Husham, Biography of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, part 1, page number 503. If we consider and study this document deeply and profoundly, indeed, it is truly the first of its kind in the history of religious freedom, and a cornerstone and declaring the human rights which mankind strove for centuries to acquire. Indeed, we cannot find that any religious minority ever acquired such a security or rights under any government before the recent centuries. If nowadays human rights are having loud voices and they are selectively denouncing and announcing this and that Islamic country, it should be made clear that there are not many years passed from the birth of this human rights declaration. Surely we can claim that before 1 century there was not the matter of human rights declaration, and there were not some organizations that they have to selectively denounce this and that country for violating the human rights. But according to Islamic instructions, according to the Islamic point of view, the humans were respected before 14 centuries, no matter what religion they are belonging, no matter what kind of doctrine they are maintaining. So this was the first of its kind according to the religious history, that we have this religious freedom for minorities, that they have to practice their own and the Muslims should have their own. So this religious minority was expected to appreciate this generous attitude towards its faith. They should have taken such an attitude towards a religion that respects the message in which they believe and considers it heavenly. For the faith of Islam supports the message of Jesus and Moses and completes them. Islam have not come to destroy or to uproot those instructions of the Christ or the Moses. Rather, it has come to complete and to accomplish those instructions and those good tenets. This religious minority had forecast its pagan neighbors and anticipated Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who is mentioned in its book. They used to threaten their pagan neighbors with the nearness of his advent and promised themselves to be of his followers, but they did not do it. When the anticipated Prophet appeared and God showed them in him what they expected, they took a hostile attitude towards him and awarded his tolerance, his benevolence, his mercifulness with breaching all covenant they signed with him. So probably they did not like something else in Islam. They opposed our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household and his instructions, not because of some doctrinal principles they had different with Islam's, rather it was because of some monetary or financial things that they used to sustain themselves by those means. This faith, you know that Islam prohibits usury and stands against exploitation and monopoly of the market. This matter frightened these people of scripture. This frightened them because it was their way to charge high interests on their loans to their neighbors. And from another side, the anarchy which was prevalent in Arabic Peninsula was a fertile lane for them. They were able to move between the tribes, seeding and growing hostilities between them, establishing a strong government with definite rules and regulations would deprive them of benefits they were enjoying. So the religious minority chose to join the pagan camp in order to keep the Arab nation in a state of ignorance, poverty, and injustice. Like pagans, the minority did not like to see the Arab nation exercising its right of establishing a government, unifying the Arab communities and directing them. So this religious minority represented to the new Muslim state a menace equal to that of the pagan tribes. For they were hatching conspiracies against the Islam, against Muslim, against the Messenger of Almighty Allah. So our honorable listeners may remember well that a delegation from this religious minority went to Mecca. Indeed, they could mobilize 6,000 soldiers from their side. And they went making conspiracies against the existence of Islam, but again they faced tolerance and benevolence of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. They joined Islamic opponents, and they, such as Banu Qurayza, broke their covenant with the Holy Prophet in the event of the Battle of Khandaq. They joined this enemy, and they witnessed the pagan army having the upper hand at that battle. When they saw that 10,000 people have gathered and have collected themselves to uproot and eradicate Islamic existence from the surface of the Medina, they joined them and they broke their promise and they broke their pledge they have already signed with our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So the messenger punished Banu Qurayza severely after the withdrawal of the Confederate army from around Medina. But again, there was source, there was a fort that most of these people have gone to, and that was the Khaybar. And indeed, our Holy Prophet was to make firm decision about these minorities who have collected themselves in that front. And that is why that the Battle of Khaybar is going to take place.
This is the Call of Islam.
And you are listening to the program, The Life of Imam Ali.
When the Messenger of Almighty Allah came back from Al-Hudaybiyah, he stayed in Medina only 15 days. Turning his attention to this minority, he marched towards Khaybar, accompanied by only the 16 or 1400 volunteers who attended Al-Hudaybiyah peaceful treaty. After traveling 3 days, so they reached in Khaybar. So their arrival in Khaybar astonished all those who were inside of the Khaybar, and they said Muhammad and his army. But it should also be noted that it is worthy that this fight or this war was not religious. It did not aim at forcing the people of Khaybar to adopt the Islamic faith. It was not having this concern. It was bereft of religious concerns that our Holy Prophet had to force them to come to Islamic state. No. Or to Islamic faith. Rather, the Holy Prophet never forced any of the followers of the scripture to change his religion. As we have already mentioned that the document which was written by the Prophet during the first year of the Hijrah had secured to the religious minority inside and around Medina their religious freedom. The same treaty, the same document ensured and granted their freedom of belief, their freedom of expressing their views. So, what was this war for? It was because of this that they breached and they broke their treaty they have already signed. So, they did not live up to the letter or spirit of that document. Rather, they became a menace to the safety of the state and freedom of the Muslims. Thus, the messenger was duty-bound to try to subdue them. In this battle, may our Honorable, referring to the historical resources, understand that Ali alayhi salam attended as he was attending in the previous battles, and he took part and participated as in the three previous battles. He also became and was the hero of the battles. He was the first and the foremost among the fighters in both defensive and offensive occasions. His actions in each of the three battles were essential factors in directing the course of battle, bringing the battle to a good end for the Muslims, and extinguishing its flame. Ali alayhi salam took part in this battle, but was not able to be the first in leading the battle of Khaybar for a health reason. He was absent in the beginning of the battle, and his absence caused noticeable vacuum. Though he took part, but due to some health reason or health concern, he was not able to come in the front line, or he was not the first that our Holy Prophet should choose him to go for conquering those forts of Khaybar. The messenger led siege around Khaybar, and the siege continued for weeks without bringing any result. A skirmish between the two sides took place one day after another. The Muslims did not have the upper hand in those skirmishes. So, when some other companions were chosen so that they have to go and they have to conquer the Khaybar, of course they were failing to conquer and to have the victory over those soldiers and warriors who were inside the Khaybar. From another side, as I said, the Muslims' supplies were dwindling rapidly. Because of this, the Muslims tried at the Battle of Khaybar to cook the meat of donkeys, but the messenger prevented them from eating the meat. The messenger gave the banner to Abu Bakr. He led the army towards the fortress of Na'im. The Khaybarites came out and fought the Muslims, and the Muslims could not prevail against them and were forced to retreat. The messenger on the following day gave the banner to the second caliph, and he was not luckier than the first, and he also came without getting any victory. So in this place, the vacuum of Ali alayhi salam's position was felt more than ever by all the companions, that if he is not there, or if he is absent, so how critical and how indeed crucial conditions are to face or to come to the Muslims. So the messenger of Almighty Allah, Muhammad peace be upon him and his household, found himself facing a very serious problem. The siege had already continued more than it should, and the food supplies dwindled and became scarce. The Islamic army so far was unable to subdue any of the fortress. So the Holy Prophet was saddened to see that his general offensive in two consecutive days had failed. He decided, therefore, to bring a drastic solution to the problem. And here, Ali alayhi salam's leadership was the only solution. The two sheikhs, Al-Bukhari and Muslim, inform us in their two sahihs, authentics of what took place here. They recorded that Sahl ibn Sa'd, a prominent companion, said, "The Messenger of God said at Khaybar that I shall give this banner to a man through whom God will bring the victory. He loves God and His Messenger, and similarly, God and His Messenger love him." Hearing this voice in these narrations of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the companions spent the night asking each other, "Who is the man whom the Holy Prophet meant?" Everyone wished to be the same, or the one whom Almighty Allah's Messenger praised and adored him. They came in the morning to the messenger, and every one of them was hoping that he would be the man of the banner. When our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, came, and there was the silence governing over the companions, our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, asked them that, "Where is Ali? Where is Ali ibn Abi Talib? He is suffering from inflammation of his eyes," they said. "The Prophet sent for him. When Ali was brought to the Prophet, he retreated Ali alayhi salam's eyes with his blessed saliva and prayed for him. Ali alayhi salam's eyes were cured instantly, as if they did not have any inflammation. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his household gave Ali alayhi salam the banner, and he was chosen to be the bearer of the banner, the bearer of the flag, on the day That was indeed serious. That was remarkably sharp. That was remarkably sensitive. Taking this banner, Ali alayhi salam asked, O Messenger of God, shall I fight them until they become Muslims like us? The Messenger said, go on until you reach their dwelling. Invite them to Islam and inform them of their duty towards God and Islam. By God, if he leads one man through you to the right road, it would be better for you then to own a precious wealth. And those precious wealths were dear at that time, red camels from Yemen. Ali alayhi salam went on carrying the banner. And contrary to the conventional way, he literally led the army. It is said by one of the companions, by God, Ali alayhi salam went with the banner, running and panting. We went following until he planted the banner into a pile of stones near the fortress. A man from the fortress went up and asked Ali, who are you? And he replied, I am Ali ibn Abi Talib. The man said, by what was revealed to Moses, he swears, by what was revealed to Moses, you have the upper hand. The name Ali means high. As the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, forecast, the Almighty granted Ali alayhi salam the victory. He conquered the enemy before he returned to the Prophet. Again, Ibn Hisham, Biography of the Prophet, part 2, page number 335. And the previous reference that we have from Sahih Bukhari, I have to tell that Sahih Bukhari part 5, page 171, and Muslim in his Sahih part 15, pages number 178-179. Salma, who is the companion narrating the event, said, Marhab, the outstanding warrior of the Khaybarites, came out boasting and challenging and groaning, moaning. Ali alayhi salam dealt him a blow with his sword, splitting his date, and victory was accomplished. So this was the remarkable contribution of Imam Ali alayhi salam's in the battle of Khaybar. Allah, Allah, ya Allah, Allah, ya Allah, Allah, ya Allah, 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 ya Allah, Allah.
This is the call of Islam, and you are listening to the program, The Life of Imam Ali.
Abu Rafi, a companion of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, said, we went with Ali ibn Abi Talib when the Messenger of God sent him with his banner. When he came near the fortress, the dwellers of the fortress came out, and he fought them. A man from them hit Ali alayhi salam and made him lose his shield. Ali alayhi salam took a door at the fortress and shielded himself with it. He kept it in his hand until the battle ended. I found myself with 7 men trying to move the door, but we could not. So the retreating enemies took refuge in their fronts. After a costly battle which did not last after Marhab's death, they tried to defend themselves by entering into the fortress and locking its door after they lost the battle of confrontation. But this did not avail them. Ali alayhi salam opened the gate and entered the fortress, and his soldiers followed him. So dear me, the questions arise for our honorable listeners, that how did he open the huge door? The door which was usually opened by 7 people, by 7 strong men, or by 7 strong men, it was not also able to be opened. Did he or any one of his soldiers climb above the wall and open the door from inside? So the response is that neither the historians nor the recorders of hadith reported that the Muslims entered the fortress by climbing. So had Ali alayhi salam through an unusual power, dislocated the door, as some of the hadith reported. This is possible and very likely. And if a person is very much well acquainted of the hadith narrated by the Shi'ites narrators, it means, and those who are having the love of Imam Ali alayhi salam, they have recorded, they have narrated that this door was dislocated by a very unusual power Imam Ali alayhi salam utilized or implied at that time. So for another miracle was performed by the Messenger of God on that day in curing the two eyes of Ali alayhi salam. So dislocation of the door probably was an additional miracle which took place on that day. Probably the door which Abu Rafi informed us that Ali alayhi salam used as a shield was the same door of the fortress. So the conclusion that we can make from this battle are somewhat 3 points. That is that the Battle of Khaybar was one of the important battles of destiny for the Muslims, as every one of them played their vital role. I mean the other three battles too had their important, their significant part in establishment of the Islamic State. But every one of them had their own subtle, their own exclusive characteristics and qualities. The first conclusion that we can make is this, that it was very much important for the Muslims. It was preceded by two battles in which the Muslims were not in the best conditions. The Muslims were defeated at the Battle of Uhud and ran away from the battlefield except a few of them. This was followed by the Battle of Khandaq, in which the Muslims were on the defensive. So they were frightened. According to the Holy Quran's description of the Muslims' state on the Battle of Khandaq, they were frightened and terrified except those whom the Almighty fortified. Their hearts went up to their throats. The battle ended, and the Muslims did not dare face their enemies or cross from their side to the side of the enemies. They remained behind their Khandaq that they have digged. So the Muslims at the Battle of Khaybar outnumbered their enemies. Should they fail to subdue them, so their failure was expected to show their weakness and entice many hostile tribes to attack the Muslims. It was the first instant or the first immediate consequence of the failure of the Muslims in Khaybar's battle, that if they failed to conquer all the fronts of the Khaybarites and this opponent or this religious minorities, it would have enticed the rest of the Arab tribes that they should also dare to come towards Medina, and they have to threaten the existence of the Islamic State. It was the first implications. It was the first consequence and result of this failure. In addition, the Muslims themselves, because of their failure in Khaybar, would have lost their self-confidence and see that their victory against numerous enemies is a remote possibility. On the other hand, if the Muslims obtain victory against the Khaybarites, the opposite will be the result. Victory heightens their morale, eliminates a dangerous enemy, and makes the rest of the Arab tribes respect the Muslims and hesitate to attack them. If they encountered failure, indeed all these things would have its opposite face. The second conclusion we can draw from this battlefield or from this war is this, that the Messenger was unhappy with the sequence of events of the battle. So they have the siege around the fortress, and it was continued for a long time. The food supplies dwindled. And if the siege continued, the Muslims could not prevail against the enemies. And the Muslims would be forced to withdraw and lift the siege. This would be a disastrous failure for the Muslims. So, as the Muslims were unable to conquer any of the fortresses in two offensives, the Messenger realized that the Muslims were facing an unusual dilemma. He wanted a drastic solution for that problem. It was the second conclusion. The third conclusion is, Because Ali alayhi salam's leadership and the view of the messenger, he was the only solution. The messenger had to perform a miracle in order to enable Ali alayhi salam to fulfill his mission. Ali was suffering from inflammation of his eyes, and he would not be able to fulfill his difficult task unless his eyes were cured. So our Holy Prophet cured his eyes, and he was made able to fight and to perform this drastic and crucial mission of him. So it means there were two miracles, one by our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. Another astounding and unusual task was uplifting or dislocation of the door by Imam Ali alayhi salam. So before talking about this miracle, we have to say that had there been any other person capable of fulfilling the mission, the Prophet would not have commissioned Ali alayhi salam with it. Ali was excused from the duty of jihad because of his unusual condition, because of the illness and the health reasons he had. But the situation was so grave, and there was no one other than Ali alayhi salam capable of facing the danger and prevailing against it. The Messenger of Almighty Allah, our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, gave the thrilling news of the victory by Ali alayhi salam in the very hadith and narration that he has said, that tomorrow I will give this flag, I will give this banner to whom that Almighty Allah and his Messenger love him. And similarly, he loves the Messenger and the Almighty Allah. So this was Imam Ali alayhi salam's remarkable and noteworthy contribution in the Battle of Khaybar, that by his starting the commission, it was ended, and it was also ended in a very good conclusion in the side of the Muslims, and the Muslims got victory, conquering the Battle of Khaybar. So all the things went on in a very good manner and in the favor of Muslims. So, respectable audience, this was the remarkable and noteworthy contribution of Imam Ali alayhi salam in the Battle of Khaybar, and it should not be ignored, or it should not be undervalued, though some of the historians tried their best. So may Almighty Allah bless us all, that we have to be faithful and loyal to those truthful messages of Almighty Allah that has been revealed through revelation on the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the instructions that has been granted by his household and his family members. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bi abi anta wa ummi ya amir al-mu'minina. Bi abi anta wa ummi wa bi rahti ajma'ina. Wa bi ahli wa bi mali. وبناتي والبانينا رفدتك النفس مني يا إمام المتقين رفدتك النفس مني يا إمام المتقين وأمين الله والوارث علم الأولين أنت أولى الناس بي